used to belong to our youth group, haven't seen her in several years. And on her website, on her MySpace page, there's one place where she's praising God and saying all this good stuff about how good God is and all this stuff. And then on the other part of her MySpace page, she has plastered posters of her getting annihilated drunk with her buddies, you know, doing keg stands and all this kind of stuff and acting like a total heathen. They just begin to live a dual life. Don't conform. Don't retaliate, but don't conform. God says that when you do that, when you try to blend holiness and unholiness, godliness and ungodliness, he calls it spiritual adultery. James 4, verse 3 says, adulterers and adulteresses, don't you know that friendship with the world, let that sink in. Don't you know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. How many people here want to be an enemy of God? Not me. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? Now, when he says don't be a friend of the world, he's not saying don't be nice to the world. You know, don't, you know, go have a Coke with them or something like that or talk pleasant to them. He's not saying, you know, call them names or treat them, you know, evilly or anything like that. When he says don't be a friend of the world, what he's saying is don't participate in ungodliness in order to gain the approval of ungodly friends. When they're out there carrying on, don't carry on with them. Take a stand. Be unique. Make a difference. I know that we think sometimes, well, if I compromise a little bit, maybe that'll help lead them to Jesus. Maybe they'll like my Jesus better if I act more like them. They'll find Jesus when they see that you're different and they get tired of the same old, and when their life is coming unglued and they've tried everything and they've forgotten about you, suddenly they'll remember you and they're like, oh, they were different. We were talking theology class again yesterday. Oh man, yeah. Talking about this cult back in the 70s where they used to tell their young ladies to go and have sex with guys to get them to come to church. That's an abomination. That is horrible. But if you follow that line of thinking on out, that's what you wind up with. I want my friends to like Jesus, so I'll just, you know, act like they do. Don't conform. Don't retaliate, but don't conform. Allow the Word of God to mold you and shape you. Romans 12, 1. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can prove and demonstrate what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Let God transform you. Don't let the world transform you. Let him make you into something the world has never seen. So, don't retaliate, don't conform. I'll speed this up. Step 3, do this. Do rejoice. Rejoice, celebrate when people persecute you. That's easy to say. It's hard to do, but that's what we're commanded to do. Jesus said, Luke chapter 6, 22, he said, blessed are you when men hate you. I have a hard time getting my mind around that. I feel lousy when men hate me. I like to be liked. Jesus said, blessed, happy are you when men hate you, when they exclude you, when they revile you, when they cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. He said in verse 23, rejoice in that day, leap for joy. There's not a lot of things I leap for joy about. Super Bowl, maybe. You know, if the guy catches the pass, I'll leap off the couch and carry on with everybody else. But he says, when people hate you for being a Christian, leap for joy. Come flying off the couch and say, babe, you'll never believe what happened to me today. Man, I gave somebody a tract and they called me an idiot. Isn't that cool? He said, rejoice. Why? Because you're crazy? Well, no, because indeed your reward is great in heaven. I don't want to check out of here empty-handed. I want to be heading for a reward. I want that to be payday. I want to be excited about leaving this world because I've got something wonderful coming for me. But there's a price to pay. And if it means that people have to sometimes call me names or exclude me or revile me, praise God, I want to leap for joy because that means my reward in heaven is great. I know we've lost people in this church sometimes because we took a stand for things. And that was hard. It was very hard. People, I mean, you get to love people here. I don't mean just in a general kind of, hey, I love you, man, kind of sense. I mean, man, I love you. You know, I praise God for bringing you into my life. Deep relationships and people have left before because we took a stand based on scripture that was not popular. And folks thought we were being judgmental. And we were very gracious about it, very meek about it. I mean, I lived on my face before God. God, give me the words. Give me the graciousness. Give me the tender mercy so that I can convey our heart without causing offense. And as hard as that was, if that's the reason, if the reason they left was because we stood for what we believe Scripture teaches, then I have to rejoice in that as much deeply as I miss some folks who have left before. Jesus says rejoice in that day. The apostles considered it a privilege to suffer for Christ in Acts chapter 5. I don't have it up there. But they performed some miracles. They got arrested for it. They didn't know, the council didn't know what to do, so they said, well, you know, we don't want to cause a stir among the people, and we don't want to go against God if God is with them. We'll just beat them up. So they beat them up, and they threw them out on the street, and they said, don't you preach about Jesus anymore. And Scripture says the apostles counted it a privilege that they were thought worthy to suffer for Christ. Worthy to suffer for Christ. That God would allow me to suffer for his name's sake, that I should be so privileged and honored to be esteemed that way. Wow. Don't retaliate. Don't conform. Step three, do rejoice. And step four, Jenny, do what?
I'm sorry.
Writing notes.
Anyway, so we're going to
pray for them. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Pray the Lord's blessing on them. Absolutely. Father, I just want to pray for Ted Kennedy right now, Lord. And I know I've been hard. But God, who knows that his name may not one day be written in the Lamb's Book of Life? And who knows all the hurt that I've caused by the hard things that I have said? So Father, I want to pray for him right now, Lord, that you would be gracious to him and show him your mercy, God. And for Bill Maher, who has had hard words against Christians, Lord, I'm sure no worse than some of the things that I've done, Lord, and the way that I've hurt people. And so I want to pray for Bill right now, Lord, that you would give him understanding and he would see you, Lord, and understand and love you. I pray you'd bless him and his family, Lord. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. You never know. Just like the Lord's brothers, when they mocked them and said, yeah, go to Judea, thinking maybe they'll kill you down there. And then one day they worshiped at his feet. Just like the Apostle Paul, who used to drag people out of their homes and carry them off to be put to death for their faith in Christ. And one day God got a hold of him and knocked him on his butt. And suddenly Paul became the most powerful Christian that's probably ever walked the face of this planet. Who knows what God has in store for those who mistreat us over the name of Jesus. Praise God. Some of our loved ones, pray for our loved ones. And when our family persecutes us, when our friends, former friends, don't want anything to do with us anymore, love them and pray for them in the Lord. And when you send your Valentine next week or hand your Valentine to whoever it is on your heart that you want to bless and tell them how much you love them, remember where it all started. Remember that guy back in ancient Rome, Valentinus, who had such a desire to win the lost and so was so fully persuaded that he could do that he risked his own life to win the emperor to Christ. And even though he wasn't successful, two other people got saved in the process. So as you're filling out that romantic card and you're putting all those sweet nothings on there and telling your loved one how much they mean to you and how you want to spend the rest of your life looking in their eyes and smiling and being held in their arms. Remember to pray for those who persecute you. Remember to pray for those who don't understand, and pray that God would open their eyes and soften their heart and would win them to themselves.